Information Specialist with the Columbia Police Department. I want to thank everyone for taking the time to come out this morning. This community briefing relates to an incident that happened yesterday, an officer-involved shooting. During this briefing, I'll take a few moments to give an overview of the incident that happened yesterday and then pass it over to Chief Jeff Jones for an opportunity to give some comments. And there'll be a brief moment for questions following the comments from the chief. So on January 11th at approximately 5:45 p.m., Columbia Police were involved in an officer-involved shooting in the 4200 block of Clark Lane. The suspect involved is identified as Jordan Pruin, 28, of Columbia. At approximately 1:15 p.m. on January 11th, Columbia Police responded to a report of a disturbance with a weapon in the 4200 block of Clark Lane. It was reported to officers who were responding to the act of assault with a weapon, that the subject had assaulted multiple individuals and that others in the area were in danger. Upon arrival, officers encountered Mr. Pruin armed with a firearm. Mr. Pruin discarded the firearm and, because of uncertainty about other weapons in his possession, officers attempted to further verbal de-escalate the situation with him. When it became clear that Mr. Pruin was choosing not to follow officer instructions, officers then deployed tasers in an attempt to subdue him. Mr. Pruin then retreated into a mobile home and barricaded himself inside while officers attempted to make contact with him. Multiple resources were called into the scene to help resolve the situation at this time, including the department's crisis negotiation team, medics, the department's embedded community behavioral health liaisons, and the SWAT team. The purpose of the elevated response was to provide additional resources in an effort to preserve life. Officers contained Mr. Pruin's threat to a single mobile home and maintained that containment while negotiators attempted contact by telephone and over a loudspeaker. Behavioral health workers worked to find information to help negotiate a peaceful surrender, and negotiators worked with them to prepare for negotiations. After hours of attempts to communicate with him, Mr. Pruin stopped communicating with officers. Two windows were breached, and a drone was inserted to see if his status could be determined. The drone located him, and he was armed with a knife. Officers continued to attempt to communicate with Mr. Pruin. He presented himself near one of the breached windows holding the knife. Officers attempted to get him to drop the knife with verbal commands, and eventually by striking him with a less lethal beanbag. But this had no effect. Officers continued to try to convince him to drop the knife and come outside. Mr. Pruin exited the front door with a knife and then ran toward officers in a threatening manner while officers were telling him to drop the knife. When Mr. Pruin continued to run without dropping the knife, two officers fired at him, striking him. He fell to the ground, and after a short period where officers tried to give further direction to drop the knife, on-site medical personnel gave critical care in an attempt to save his life. He was then taken by EMS to a local hospital, where he later succumbed to his injuries. With that overview, I'll pass it to Chief Jones to provide some comment.
So first, I want to say that this is preliminary information. This is not either of the investigations' conclusion. These are facts relayed to me and our public information specialists in an attempt to keep the community as informed as possible, be as transparent as possible as to what had occurred from our point of view with the limited information that we have. We recognize that it's limited. There was a highway patrolman present, so we immediately contacted the highway patrol, which is process for us in these types of events, and asked them to take over the investigation involving the officer's shooting. There's a concurrent and parallel investigation that is separate from the highway patrol's investigation that will take place involving our internal affairs division. One looks at the criminality of an event, the other looks at whether policy and process was followed. So there are two different types of investigations, but there's a lot of information still yet to be gathered. This is never the outcome that we strive for. We truly strive to preserve life by having our social worker there and our medics and everybody. We really try to have all the resources in place to get to a conclusion that's different than what we had last night. To friends and family, I'm sorry for what you're going through. The circumstances and what led to the actions of the police are of no comfort, and I recognize that. But know that you are in our thoughts, even if it doesn't seem that way. For the officers involved, you're in my thoughts too. I had a brief opportunity to check on the two officers involved last night. We're going to get them some counseling services and other mental health services, because obviously this isn't the outcome that they wanted either. I know I'll be asked when we get to questions what they said, and I'll tell you that I'm not going to go into that. But it was a limited conversation, and it was really just to check on them, and they're having a rough time. So that's as far as I'll go with that. With that, we're going to take a few questions. We really tried to give in the overview most of the facts that we know. So we may be repeating some of the information. So we'll take questions from the media, and we'll move from there. I do have Assistant Chief Jeremiah Hunter, who oversees the SWAT commander and is over our investigative division.
So I just have a question to start. Were the officers wearing body cameras?
First, can you tell me who you're with?
I'm Ethan Hines. I'm with ABC 17.
Okay, go ahead.
Were the officers wearing body cameras, and if so, were they recording at the time?
Some of the officers were wearing body cameras. In a response like this, it's a call-in for SWAT and crisis negotiators, so they wouldn't be wearing a camera because they're not on duty, and our cameras are docked in the station. So when they call to an emergency situation like this, they don't have time to go to CPD to get a camera. But there were people who were on duty that had their cameras. So we do have video recording of the incident.
Chief Mark Slavitt with KRCG 13. In the situation like this, are your officers trained to shoot to kill or shoot to wound?
That's a good question. We often get the question, why wasn't he or they shot in the leg? Why weren't they shot in the arm? And we can't train that way. Under stress, you lose fine motor skills. So police train to shoot center mass, so that error when losing some of your fine motor skills is somewhere on target. So it's not that we're shooting to kill someone, we're shooting to stop a threat. But we are trained to shoot center mass when stopping a threat.
Jackson Valenti with KMUH. Can you spell this, the suspect's full name?
Sure. Jordan, J-O-R-D-A-N. Pruyn, P-R-U-Y-N. Tell me who you're with.
My name is Ashley Marsh. I'm just a citizen. How many officers were there at the scene during the time of the shooting?
I don't have the number. It was a lot.
It was a lot. So do you think that being that he was armed with a knife, that they could have tried to take him out, take him down to the ground instead of using a firearm?
I would never put a police officer in a position to wrestle an armed person.
Chief, Chris Bryant with ABC 17. Go over the timeline for us again, if you could, real quick. I know Christian talked about it, but this call came in at what time, and then how long after till your officers engaged him with lethal force, and then from when you guys wrapped up the scene?
So I'll tell you what I know. I don't have all of those times. I can tell you we got called about 1:15 p.m. to the assault, and then Mr. Pruin was shot somewhere around 5:45 p.m. I don't know how long it took to wrap up the scene. The Highway Patrol was there, and I knew that they were there for quite a while.
Your two officers, are they on administrative leave? And then what can you tell us about them as far as years of service and, you know, some of those points?
So I won't talk about specific personnel actions because I'm not allowed to, but I will tell you that it is a matter of course for us to put people on administrative leave when they're involved in an incident like this. As for experience, I have one that's got about 18 years of experience, and the other one probably about four. I'm not certain, but somewhere close to that.
Chief Jones, the Highway Patrol is now investigating. It's up to your department to cooperate. Maybe tell us where we go from here. How long does this take, and what is your role in this cooperation with the investigation?
So the criminal investigation involving the Highway Patrol, they will look at reports and video. They'll take witness testimony. They'll interview people who were there. They'll interview the officers. Say how long that takes, I don't know. I don't control that at all. I will tell you that we fully cooperate with them. We give them everything that we have. We were working last night and this morning to get them video from all of the body-worn cameras, vehicles, all of that. They'll get all of our reports. Every officer that is there will write a report. So there's a lot that they're going to have to sift through. Then you have the IA side of that, the internal affairs side of that, and they will do the same type of work, but they'll also be looking at policy. But outside of policy, we're going to look to see if there's a way that we can improve our response. So unfortunately, we've had other events with the same outcome, and each time we look at those and see if there's some other resource that we can bring to bear. In this instance, we had one of our community behavioral health liaison present to work with the negotiators. So we had a social worker there. That is not something that we had typically done in the past, but we saw a need for it. Obviously, they're not going to confront someone who's armed, but just having that resource there to look at past history could be valuable. So we're going to continue to look at this from those angles and see, you know, if policy and process was followed, and even if they were followed, if there's a way to improve. So I'll take one more question.
Chief, when it comes to the victim in this, was he known to you guys? Do you have a history of responding to his address? And if so, I mean, was there the knowledge there that, you know, there may be issues that should have probably been stepped up for before bringing in the crisis negotiator and social work?
We had limited knowledge of him. Thank you all.
Thank you all again for attending. That concludes the briefing for today. A press release with an overview of this same information that I presented will be going out later today. But thank you all, and that's the conclusion.